Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast only, you know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony, you could catch me every Monday after kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony. Go BBS Radio.
All right, fans, welcome back. Welcome back for another exciting week of the Tony Sands Radio Show here live at the Tilted Kilt, downtown Fort Lauderdale. I'm your co-host, Kelsey Dudley, here with the main man, Tony Sands. And Tony, tell them what type of a day this is.
Kelsey, listen, I'm going to tell you, they can call it Black Monday. You know, and I always wondered why they call this Monday after the NFL season is completely over. No Monday Night Football. Why do they call it Black Monday? Because you're giving guys pink slips, but you're calling it Black Monday. NFL Network called it the aftermath. And I think that fits this situation a lot better than Black Monday. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And you understand, normally when things go bad, you say we're in the red. And the black tends to sometimes mean, you know, you're kind of positive.
Right.
But when you're in the red, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
So now, how do they give this day, Black Monday, when you're giving out pink slips? What I mean by giving out pink slips, people all over the NFL, high school, college. Football,
yeah.
Today was judgment day cast upon a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you look at the Giants, Tom Coughlin stepped down. I don't know if that was him stepping down or...
Oh, the writing was on the wall there.
You know, either you step down or, you know, we force you to sit down.
Right.
And that's, you look at the coach situation. You look at the coach situation. The Chargers fired their OC. And all across the landscape, the Dolphins are looking for people. They're hiring people. General manager is Mr. Greer now, and he said he's in there along with Tannenbaum
to find the
right coach for this situation. But not only that, Kelsey, let's talk about some of the guests we're going to have on this Tony Sands Show. We're bringing in Mr. Crawford from Illinois, big safety, a guy that in the Big Ten. This is Big Ten night. We're not only bringing on James Crawford, we're bringing in Madre London, Michigan State, who just had the battle with Alabama. So he can give us some insight on what Clemson is going to be
faced up against, a brick wall. That's what it's going to be.
Because that D-line was coming.
Yeah.
They were coming, and they were coming, and they did not want to stop coming.
Yeah.
But also, Kelsey, now, let's break it down. We're going to start high school, and then we'll work our way up through the college ranks.
Uh-huh.
You know, about a week ago, Coach Jones down at Hollandale resigned.
Yeah.
He stepped down.
Uh-huh.
He stepped down for whatever reason. He stepped down and decided that he would, you know, want to go in a different direction.
Right.
But today, breaking news out of Plantation, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Rump. Steps down.
And UM guys, alum.
We had Mike Rump here on the show when we brought American Heritage in. And one thing we were talking about at that time, because Al Golden had just been fired.
Uh-huh.
So we was asking him
who
are some of the possible candidates that could possibly be in the running for this job.
Mm-hmm.
In the running for this job. So he gave us his opinion. But then I also asked him before I got him out there, because I know our listeners would want to know how he's thinking.
How he's feeling,
I asked him,
what did he want?
Now, what would you do if there's a possibility you get asked to come on at the University of Miami? Would you take it? He said, well, you know,
what
I like.
Say?
He said, I like where I'm at, But I would have to entertain that offer.
Yeah.
And he had the opportunity to entertain that offer. And I think at this point, reading from Football Scoop and all across the landscape, I mean, it's all over Facebook, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Rump has decided, I think, pretty much to take that job. And you got to understand, Mike Rump is an alum of the University of Miami, plays in the secondary for the University of Miami, yeah. And also is an NFL guy that played that position. So I think they are saying that they probably see that this is a new face for the secondary.
And yeah, definitely a new face.
And help them, but not only help them in that aspect of coaching, but also help them in the aspect of recruiting. Because recruiting, you must win, Kelsey.
He knows
it. He's coming in with that Jimmy Johnson mentality that you got to win from Palm Beach
on down. Yeah.
And Mike Rump would be a great candidate for the Broward County area to come into this landscape because he's played a lot of these
guys. He knows a lot of the kids in this area. So, you know, that was a smart move by Mark Richt, of course, you know, positioning himself and his staff to be in a way that they can pull in some of the top recruits. Yeah. Very smart hire there. And a good move for Mike Rump, too.
Good move for Mike Rump.
Yeah.
And I talked to you a little bit before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. We said we don't know how. Good move for University of Miami. Good move for Mike Rump. Bad move for American Heritage.
Or non-leverage move for American Heritage.
I don't know. American Heritage is a private school. I think they can have some leverage. It's not like a public school as we talked about some weeks ago.
Right.
When you're saying that
in the case of Damon Jones, you know, they didn't have any leverage to say, okay, well, no, Damon, don't go.
Right.
We have some things here in place to keep you here, some things to entice you to stay.
We can up the money because there's no cap in the private
school. Right.
They cap their money over there. And it's going to be some, you know, I did my inside scooping on that job just to see who could possibly be candidates for that job,
mm-hmm.
you know, candidates that could possibly be in place for that job. Some of the names that came up to me.
Uh-huh.
Sertan name came up as one of the possible candidates.
Sertan
name came up. A Ronde Gaston name came up as one of the possibles for that job. And Mario Perez, I think who was the OC, I don't know if he's still the present OC there now.
Okay.
But he was the OC there at one point. His name has popped up for this job.
Okay.
You know, now, I mean, it's going to be a lot of guys.
And then you have, you know, the outside guys that are going to come in for that job.
And if you look at some of the guys that are still, that's in the game, because you look at Wayne Blair is a name, I'm quite sure that's going to come up. Guys that have helped. St. Thomas, Boyd Anderson, he got Boyd Anderson
U-School.
Kind of moving back. U-School. And I think he's going to probably put his hat. He went over to Naples and helped that school get in the playoffs for the first time. So I think he's going to do a lot there to try to get his name in on that.
Let me ask you this, Tony. And I know we didn't, you know, talk about this in the meeting before the show, but how about my boy? His name coming up.
Oh.
That being Donnell Bennett, another UM alumni, possibly.
Coming up where?
At American Heritage, his name popping up over there, or him putting in his name over there in that particular situation.
I don't know if that area of that school. I don't know if that it just when you say that name, it just doesn't fit.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't fit that. I don't see them saying, okay, we're not gonna look at Patrick Surtain.
Uh-huh.
We're not gonna look at Perez. We're not going to look at Ronde Gaston, guys mm-hmm. that's over there, to bring in Donnell Bennett. I think Donnell has something that he has in store that he's, you know, that he's possibly want to look at.
Right.
But I don't know if he puts his name in on that.
That would be the question. Does he put his name in for that? Because it wouldn't pop up there, and you're right about that. It wouldn't pop up in the search on its own.
But now, a dark horse, and I'm going to throw this name out at some people that played at American Heritage, played quarterback for American Heritage some years back in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
He was on the show. He's one of the guys that's around teaching quarterback. Keith Franklin's name has started popping up for that job as one of the dark horses.
Very interesting name. Very interesting name.
Him and the owner are good friends.
Very interesting name.
Him and the owners are good friends. Now, he played at American Heritage. Yep. So he understands the landscape of American Heritage and what you got to do, the things that you got to do over at American Heritage. He understands all that.
Well, one thing we know that, you know, Mike Rump definitely left the cupboard is full. But when you walk in, it is full. Your job as a coach walking in is to maintain the level that he's already set.
But now you say he left it full. But if you do not
hurry up and get to somebody in there,
that cupboard can get real empty real
fast. Yes, especially here in Broward when you're talking about private schools and kids transferring. And this is actually the time, Tony. This is like the small window around this time here where you get a lot of transferring amongst the high school kids in this area. And then, you know, at the beginning of the summertime. So this is the first window here. So it's not a good time for this opening to come up. But hopefully American Heritage has put some thought into it and they kind of maybe had some kind of insight that, hey, he may leave for a possible college job. Let's maybe have something on the back burner or some possible candidates lined up. So hopefully that was the case with them. We'll find out soon, though.
I'm quite sure right now they are on the hunt.
Yeah.
They are on the hunt, I'm quite sure, right now to get somebody in place immediately. Like Hollandale, I think, has some time. They have some time.
Yeah, yeah, you know, they had some time. Because, Damon put it out that I possibly am going to be leaving.
When you look at American Heritage, and I'm quite sure there's rumors that there's going to be more jobs possibly opening up in Broward County to go. But then let's talk about, when we talk about coaches, let's get to the college ranking. Let's jump on. The one place we got to jump on is University of Miami.
Uh-huh.
But before we get to that, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And we're going to come back and see why Mark Richt decided not to retain any of the staff.
Of the previous staff.
At University of Miami. And find out what some of the guys are landing here on The Tony Sands Show.
Being on some chips, we go 0 to 100 real quick. They be on that rap to pay the bills. And I don't feel that shit, not even a little bit. Oh Lord, know yourself, know your worth. My actions being louder than my words. How you sold, I been still sold down to earth. Cause we won't do it, we can do it on the turf. Oh Lord, I'm the rookie and the vet. Shout out to the die holding down the set. All up in my phone looking at pictures from the other night. She gonna be upset if she keeps scrolling to the left, dog. She gonna see some shit that she don't wanna see. She ain't ready for it. If I ain't the greatest, then I'm.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands alone with my co-host Kelsey Dudley. We're live at Tilt the Cute where the food is awesome. Kelsey,
awesome.
Hey, listen, I went your way today.
Yeah, you did.
I went your way today. But as you know, folks, as you know, now, we ordering the food.
How was the sandwich? Just say, how was the sandwich?
Sandwich is great.
Oh, yeah, see?
The sandwich is great.
So now you see why I was missing the sandwich.
Great it's, sandwich.
It's back but on the menu, you
back
guys.
Back on the menu. We made enough
it's back on the menu.
They have put the sandwich back on the menu. But, sandwich still didn't come right. Vaughn. He forgot some type of. I didn't want mayonnaise on mine. He said, well, get it just like his.
Pesto mayo.
Man, the pesto mayo did not go on the sandwich.
Good, man. That garlic mayo.
See,
come
I just
on,
can't
man.
Have it. I don't like it. I don't like it. But, Kelsey, let's dig into it because Mark Richt is making big moves still right now.
Right.
As we are speaking, we're talking about, as we told you before, if you're joining the Tony Sands Show, we're talking here about UM. This is Black Monday, aftermath, pink slip day, high school, college, and the NFL are being handed out pink slip, but they call it Black Monday. I don't understand where that come from, but it does. And if you ever had a chance to go to the coaches convention, you can understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
a meat market. People sleep in their cars to try to get jobs. But Mark Richt is still making noise. This is coming from the latest on Football Scoop. Mark Richt has announced Mississippi State defense assistant Bandy will join the staff coaching the safeties at the University of Miami. Also, on Football Scoop, it is announcing that Director of Operation Josh Darrell will not be retained. Will not be retained. If you notice, Josh Darrell was a guy that was with 560 when they started up South Florida High School Sports.
Right.
He was one of people that are instrumental in starting that up. But now we find out that, hey, he's out at the University of Miami.
Wow. I don't know if I mean, wow. What do you say then? Like, I left something that I had going with a radio station, a well-known radio station.
I think it was a positive move for him. I don't know if the move came at the right time.
Right.
Not thinking that
Did he leave security?
I don't know if he left security or not, because I know you want to always move up.
Right.
You want to move up in the rankings, and that was his way to move up in the rankings. Now he can take that and, you know, with that
kinda
experience,
try to make it catapult into something
but
else.
But now you got to start saying, do I, in that type of field, you got to start moving, being ready to move family.
Yeah.
And that's the part, is your wife ready, or your significant other, or whoever, are they ready to be moved around? But not only that, we see Tennessee has landed Coach Larry Scott as their tight end coach. Great move for Tennessee.
Yeah, I like Larry Scott.
Butch Jones
did a great move
in that, because he's developed some tight ends now for him.
And I think also that may have been for Butch Jones a kind
indoor
of a recruiting. Yeah.
There's something behind your madness when you look at it.
Yeah, which was smart. And I think that he was probably looking at that as being a chess piece, you know, in that. So, I mean, hey, that works out well for Tennessee.
But when you look at that whole thing, Tennessee decided we would go with tight ends coach, Larry Scott, get tight end. Got a tight end guy. The guy that's used to developing tight ends. But not only that, we got a guy in here that can recruit the South Florida area. South Florida is hot.
Yeah, so he
South Florida is a hotbed when it comes to
automatic guy
athletes
for recruiting down in South Florida.
What?
And a fiery guy. I think he did a very good job for UM holding that together during that point in time. So you're bringing in not only a good coach, but also a good recruiter and understander of young men that can kind of have a relationship with young men. So good move all the way around.
Good move for him.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out just because, like I said, Mark Rick, clean house. And he's still cleaning house. He hasn't. But this was the biggest move.
What's that?
When you get rid of Swayze. When you get rid of
a long-time
strength and conditioning coach. Normally, strength and conditioning coaches are normally safe in all this.
Uh-huh.
But they're not. In this case, he was not safe. And a lot of people made a lot of fuss about that. A lot of past athletes made a big fuss about it because they're saying to themselves, how do you get rid of Swayze? But I think he's probably, you know, Rich probably saying, you know what, they got used to things.
Yeah.
And I got to shake things up. In order to get the U back to where it is, I got to shake a lot of things up.
Yeah.
To make it fit for what I want, the move I'm trying to make, and where I'm trying to go.
It also provides him a window of opportunity that is, I mean, you look at what he's doing and you say, okay, well, he's bringing in his guys. Now let's give him some time to put his system into place. So now not only does it help you with bringing in your own guys, but it buys you a larger window there for yourself to kind of get things situated the way that you want. People are not going to say, oh, well, he already has the strength coach. He already has this in place. He already has that in place. Well, what's the problem? Why aren't we winning?
His receivers coach, which the receiver coach Cooley finds him a job, he lands him a spot also. Now, there's a lot of other guys on that staff right now, I'm quite sure, going to be hitting that coaching convention hard to try to find jobs, to try to see if they can get a job lined up for themselves, because without that, and I hope some of them had contracts, so that way it buy you some time. Now they're normally giving guys 2 years on their deal, so hopefully that'll make it land a little longer before you have to completely get out of the game.
So it doesn't leave you cold turkey.
Yeah, it doesn't leave you cold turkey at all. So, and as a matter of fact, you look at let's dig into South Carolina situation, Kelsey. South Carolina is in their situation.
Ole Miss champ making some noise already.
But they got, you know, they had a recruit commit to them and decommit within 48 hours. I And that was a serious recruit that committed to him.
Yeah, well-known receiver from this area, Deerfield Beach High, younger brother of Calvin Ridley.
Looking like Georgia may be the front runner. And that's Kirby Smart.
Hey, and you know what?
Kirby Smart.
You know what's backing Kirby Smart in this and what may be allowing him to kind of push through the back door on this? Is because he's been able to kind of keep the big quarterback recruit that is going to Georgia coming from the state of Washington.
Yep.
That's a big foundation piece there.
That's a big move.
That's helping him kind of say, hey, look over here at us. You may want to come over here. Don't leave us out.
We can make some serious moves. Because a lot of people had him locked in to South Carolina because of the receiver coach that was there. They thought him and the receiver coach had a great bond. So why wouldn't that would be a great asset to him to have on his team?
Yeah.
But we also, Kelsey, on the show, as we said, we're going to talk, being that we talked high school, we at the 6:30 hour of the show, we're going to try to reach our main man, Ryan Bartow, for him to give us his insight. He's out there in San Antonio at the All-American game, Army All-American game, checking out some of the hottest recruits in the country. But later on, in about 6:45, we're going to bring on the show number 5. Illinois, the man, the myth that's going to be the man that's there. My man JC will be joining the show talking Big Ten football, and Madre London will be joining the show talking Big Ten. This is Big Ten night here on the Tony Sands Show. This is what we consider Big Ten night. We're going to talk Big Ten, then we're going to pick Madre brain on the national championship game and how he possibly see this thing playing out.
Yeah, hopefully he'll give us the skinny on that. You know, he'll give us the inside on it. He may not want to let go any information.
But he could give us the best insight on it.
He could.
Just got the gridiron with him.
He could. Let's see if we can pull it out of him.
Oh, we'll be able to pull it. We're going to pull something out of him. We're going to pull something out of him, period. But I want to go to Texas. We're going to go to Texas. But before we go to Texas, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then we're going to come back with my main man, Ryan Bartow, talking high school football in San Antonio, All-American game, and looking at some of the players that are here from South Florida and how they're panning out and some of the guys that are standing out at that All-American game.
Right.
Here on the Tony Sands Show when we get back. Tony Sands Show. We're live at Tilt the Kilt where the food is great and me and Kelsey shared the same meal finally.
And he loved it. He loved it. He loved the fries and the sweet tea. Yeah, now he hooked. Oh, you know how it is.
But
he hooked.
It is Big Ten night here on the show. It is Big Ten night here on the show. It's going to be exciting. So
yes.
I can't wait till we break down what goes on in the Big Ten, what it takes to play in the Big Ten. But before that, we got Madre London, as I told you, James. We got a host of guys here on the Tony Sands Show. But let's dig into, without further ado, let's bring my main man, Ryan Bartow, on live.
Mr. Five Star, he got it all.
San Antonio.
Yes, coming
live. As we call him Mr. 24/7. Ryan, what's going on, man, out there in San Antonio?
Doing great, actually, at the Grand Hyatt, same place that all the players stay, right on the Riverwalk here. We watched the West Squad practice. They did 2-a-days today. Looks pretty sharp. Mm-hmm. Some looked better than others, to say the least, but it was pretty good weather and definitely a lot better QBs in this game than any other All-American game.
Ryan, the last time I went out there, last year when I went out, it was like rainy and misty and cold. Is it that still environment? Every time I go to San Antonio, it was like rainy and misty and cold.
Yeah, I'm bringing, let me put it this way, when I don't bring my Fort Lauderdale clothes when I come here. I got the leather jacket and the pants, and I'm bringing out stuff I haven't worn in 10 years, the Wisconsin clothes. Cause, yeah, it's a little chillier than what we're, you know, usually blessed with. But and it's about 65 in good weather, and it's made, hopefully, for tomorrow at practice, it'll be like that. And the good thing about this, though, come Saturday, the game's in the Alamo Dome, so weather's not an issue, and they'll have, you know, 50,000 plus packed in there and rocking.
Ryan, give me some of the guys that you saw today that stood out to you on the West team in this, you know, in this two-day practice.
Definitely. The QBs, I thought Shea Patterson, that's going to Ole Miss, is an early enrollee, a five-star kid, real quick release, accurate, threw some lasers. He was really good. I thought Jordan Elliott, a defensive tackle, committed to Michigan. He was tough to block, almost unblockable at some point. Wide receiver-wise, Javon McKinley, probably looking like he's going to potentially commit to Notre Dame during the game on Saturday. He's a four-star wide receiver out of Southern California, Corona Centennial High School. I thought he was really good. I thought, honestly, all the wide receivers were really good. Mike Pittman and Tyler Vaughn's two four-star guys headed to Southern Cal. I thought Donnie Corley from Detroit, who's probably either going to go to Michigan State or Ohio State, he was pretty good. The guy that we gave our alpha dog, meaning our MVP of the day to, is Jack Jones. He's a 5'10", 170 athlete. He played corner today. He had a pick six. He was real disruptive on the back end on the defense. He's from one of those powerhouse high schools in Southern California, Long Beach Poly High School, that you guys are real familiar with.
Okay.
Wow. Ryan, have you gotten a chance to see our guys here, Mullins and the guys from Coconut Creek?
Benjamin Victor.
Yeah. Now, I was at the West practice all day today, but just talking to our 24/7 guys that were over at the East practices, all three of those Coconut Creek kids, did real well today. Malik Young, who is down to four schools, he's between Miami, Clemson, South Carolina, as well as Ohio State. He did a heck of a job at cornerback, obviously. Trayvon Mullen, we think, is as good as any corner as you'll find in the country. Yesterday, he measured in at 6'1", 168. Benjamin Victor had a real good practice this morning. Is one of the better receivers, not only on the East squad, but in the country. And Benjamin Victor is also one of the guys, I think, come Saturday, he could catch some bombs for touchdowns. See, this wide-open all-star game that was in the 40s last year, this is a game that he loved because he loved getting that ball. And it's really a wide-open game. But most of all, these are the best QBs that this guy's ever been thrown to in his life. I mean, we probably got five of the top seven QBs in the country in this game alone. So, I mean, he's getting some lasers to him. He's getting some accurate deep ball.
Now, tell me, Ryan, tell me this. Now, because, you know, it varies on, you know, how kids get to this game and perform. And I've been there, and, I mean, it's kids everywhere because they have so many other games going on to where Mexico is competing against this team and a lot of other things, games that are going on. To get to this game, does that make you, are you considered at that time one of the elite guys, either at your position or in your area, to be able to participate in this game?
No, you're considered the best of the best in the country. Of the 80 guys in this game, they're outside of maybe one or two, they're all four-star guys.
Correct.
They're all ranked in the top 250 in the country. Most of them are ranked in the top 100 in the country. So, I mean, this is the best of the best. And that's why these practices are so good, because a lot of these times, these, especially the linemen, this is a lot of their best guys they've ever seen or best guys they've ever went against. So a couple other South Florida guys that you guys are familiar with that did a heck of a job this morning is Brian Burns, the four-star DN from American Heritage.
Right.
He really got off the ball well. Really took to his coaching, wants to get better. That's one reason we at 24/7 have him ranked as the number two weak side DN in the country. And the guy, the South Florida kid that probably had the best day of all of them was Jamel Cook. He came in at 6'4", 190, And honestly, he's playing safety in this game, but a lot of the practices this morning, he locked up people at corner, which is very rare for a guy that size.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Ryan, you talked about American Heritage, and this not changed gears, but switching gears a little bit. As you know, Mike Rupp has now stepped down to become the defensive back coach at the University of Miami. With that being said, give me some idea, if you know, of who could possibly be candidates. Me and Kelsey threw some names out earlier who could possibly be candidates for that job, which is a great job to have if you can land it. Who are some of the names that you're hearing?
Well, let me just touch it from three bases. One, whoever gets that job, it's potentially a gold mine in terms of you have three four-star cornerbacks in Marco Wilson, Pat Surtain Jr., and Tyson Campbell all coming back. The linebacker James Houston has a Wisconsin offer. His cousin George Ellis, the D-tackle, has a Wisconsin offer. Four-star running back Keyshawn Bryant is coming back. You have two four-star offensive tackles in T.J. Slayton and Kalayan Herbert both coming back. And you have your quarterback coming back. And, I mean, some guys I haven't even mentioned. So that's just all on one high school team. So whoever inherits that has got a gold mine. I think right away you look in-house. You look at the two coordinators. Mario Perez, the offensive coordinator. Pat Surtain, the defensive coordinator. Now, obviously, those guys are more than qualified to be the head coach at that position. Both those guys probably not hurting financially either. So that'll be part of the dynamic if they want to take on that challenge as well. I mean, you look at guys like Coach Glenn at Deerfield, Coach Reed at Coconut Creek, Coach Rocco Casullo. That would be made-for-TV Brower.
I didn't think about that one.
Deal.
Him coming back.
That's a good one.
There's some very talented coaches in South Florida that we talk about every week that would love to get not only that talent, but that type of facilities and that type of pay raise. That's one of the true gem jobs in South Florida. And quite frankly, Mike Rump's a big reason why it is a gem job now.
Yes. He's made that job very attractive. I remember I played.
Let me tell you this, too. Mike Rump and a lot of people, the last two regimes for the Hurricanes have hired high school coaches. Randy Shannon had his whole personnel department, whether it was Steve Field or Corey Bell or Ike Harris. Those were high school coaches. And then obviously Al Golden hired Kevin Beard and he hired Ike Harris. And you see, you know, some resentment among high school coaches in South Florida because those guys got that opportunity. But in this instance with Mike Rump, one, he's a former player. Two, he's an NFL guy.
Correct.
Three, he's real well respected in all three of the major counties in South Florida. Four, he could potentially bring 9 or 10 four-star kids from his own high school with him. And five, I mean, this is a guy that can help players off the field. He can help special teams. He can help development of cornerback. And he just happened to play on the best college team of all time. So there's a lot to like in terms of that hire.
And that's what I was talking about when you look at that hire. The potential, the upside to it is so great that it makes it amazing that you can first of all, that you're able to get and land this guy. And you're able to persuade this guy to come from high school, a school where he was, he's looked at as guy, you won state championship there.
Yeah, back to back.
And so now you lure this guy to your program. Now you have this guy. It's a great, great hire for the University of Miami. And as you can see, Ryan, you can see Miami guys are landing jobs around the country. You can see Scott Lance, the tight end job.
And I like that, too, because I often say the best coaching I see is on Fridays, not necessarily Saturdays or Sundays.
Correct. That's where it started. But, Ryan, we're in the building tonight. We have Madre London of Michigan State. We're going to talk with him a little bit about national championship. Then we have James Cropper, the safety at the University of Illinois. We have Big Ten guys in the building here at the show. Next week, Ryan, it's going to be crazy. National championship. Plus, we're going to have Michael Irvin, the playmaker himself, live on set here. at the Tilt the Kilt on the Tony Sands Show.
You guys aren't going to be with me in San Antonio?
No, we can't go with you in San Antonio. You know, Tilt the Kilt, that's national championship night. They want us to be in the building. The Playmakers joining us in the building, so you know how that is. You know what that is.
Well, you guys know that I covered Clemson for 7 years.
Give us some insight on Clemson then.
Last Wednesday I was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal asking them, you know, are you surprised Clemson's in the title game? Did you see this coming? And having covered their recruiting, having covered Deshaun Watson since his first high school game when he was 14, knowing the type of defensive linemen they had, knowing that they went and got those four receivers from Florida when Miami and Florida happened to be down, that whole dynamic added up to what we're going to see in the national title game next week.
Now, and like you said, now you – that line of Alabama, that D line is pretty stout.
That's an NFL group. Yeah,
I think that the front seven for Alabama is one of the best we've seen in the last 25 years. I mean, LSU's had some like it. Miami obviously did. That 94 or 93 Alabama bunch was pretty salty. So I think this group that Saban's put together because of the depth and because of the top end, you got a lot of that as well.
And that, like I said, I gotta give it to Dabo. He is doing a heck of a job. He's doing a heck of a job with those guys. And
it's gonna be interesting to see how they match up, because you got two teams that you got one physical team in Bama that wants to be physical, and then you have a finesse speed team that in Clemson that wants to spread you out. So
that's gonna be
remember this too. The last seven times that Alabama has lost, what's the common denominator in that?
They were all spread fast quarterback.
Yep. Dual threat QBs, Texas A&M, Old Miss, stuff like that takes that front seven and that 3-4 that they like to play in and spreads them out in space.
But Ryan, now you got to remember, to beat Nick Saban twice with the same type of game, it's going to be hard to believe, because that's why Nick slimmed those D linemen down.
Yeah.
He said, listen, you won't beat me with a fast quarterback again. I'm going to tone these guys down. They're still going to be 300. Uh-huh. Instead of 330, they're going to be 310 and can move.
Yeah.
That is going to be that new element that he's added to it. Because those guys, they're big, but they can move.
Oh, they studied that Ole Miss game.
Yeah, they were going to make sure.
They studying it right now as
and
we
that's
speak.
Why I say he paid his strength and conditioning coach $500,000 to stay. Mm-hmm. Stay at Alabama.
Because otherwise, he was going to Georgia.
Yes.
So, I mean, why leave up the top when you're there?
Clearly.
Yeah, I know Kirby said, oh, shucks.
Shucks, he couldn't.
I had it.
But Kirby don't have the money to land.
Yeah, I know Kirby don't have the money. But he knew what type of guy he was getting if he could have pulled him out of there.
He knew what he was getting. He knew what he was getting in that. And that's a key element when you're talking about development of program. And I think that's why Mark Richt decided at this point, Ryan, as you know, Mark Richt got rid of Swayze, the strength and conditioning coach. So I knew he figured at that time it was time to make a move, and I need to shake this foundation completely up. And you shake it up by changing strength and conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, what obviously he saw was as bad as that program was ever run or operated in the last 30 years. So he had to clean house on and off the field.
Yes. Had to make sure that it get completely a complete overhaul. Done on that.
He did get some backlash on Twitter from some of the alumni. The
alumni, because they loved it going down to work out.
You're not
going to
please everybody.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
No, you're not. And what he's got to make sure, now he's got to win, though, because that backlash should come back at him.
Yeah, he does.
He's got to win. This whoever he blames, especially, I think that was the biggest backlash that came from with Swayze's situation.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading today. Like he even let Josh Darrow go, who was the assistant director of operations. He let clean house from that point also. And then he
And I don't think he's done either. I think there's still some more that needs to be cleaned up there.
And that's going to – I'm quite sure he got his eyes probably on some people that he wants to make sure that this thing gets turned around and get turned around fast, because I don't see him staying 6 years at the University of Miami. I think I give him four, and I think at that point he'll been done, probably turned the
just
program around.
Just stepped away from
and
it.
And he turned it over at that point where it's back at its peak of where the University of Miami should be.
You know, it's kind of when you're winning championships, yeah, which he wants to win.
Oh, yeah.
The taste of winning one might keep you going.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
To get to two and three.
It's easy to get a car going.
Right.
It's hard to get it started. It's like in the cold weather when you're sitting there hitting that, you turning it on and
it won't turn over.
It won't turn over. Versus getting it turned over. Then you can drive that car all day, yeah, because it's a smooth ride.
Hey, now we keep mentioning Saban's name here.
Saban's name, I like that comparison.
You mentioned Saban's name now. I'm quite sure people are hearing that. I think it's the coach are saying they're going to make Saban tell them no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they, as well as the Giants, but probably more so the Colts. I mean,
yeah,
$7 million a year, GM and head coach, and be on the front end of Andrew Luck. That's pretty enticing.
That's the deal closer right there. To be have Andrew Luck. That was going to be the deal
you
closer.
I think he couldn't get what he needed saving when he was down in Miami.
When he was down in Miami, correct.
I think they didn't give him
He almost did, and then the doctor told him to pick Cole Tupper instead of Breeze.
Instead of Breeze, right.
He'll be in paradise.
Yes, and Breeze would have. I don't know. You know, a lot of people say I think it would have changed with Breeze. I don't know. I don't know that.
Yeah, they would have at least knocked on the door one time. At least one time, Tony.
Nothing you do about yesterday, but that would obviously been by far the best QB they've had since Marino.
It would have, yeah.
Miami making a shot to go back at Drew Brees because I don't see him paying Drew Brees the money that he's asking for this year and not making the playoffs.
Might be
right. That was years ago.
Yeah, you know, somebody's going to land Drew Brees because I think his days at the Saints is over. Hey, Ryan, man, thank you for charming in. Listen, we will be back charming in with you on National Championship Night because you're going to be at the hottest place to be if you're trying to find a job because this is, as we know, Black Monday, NFL Network called it aftermath in this day.
It'll be next week. I'll be live at the National Coaches Convention in San Antonio and I'll have all kinds of other juice for you.
Yeah, that we know he will bring us deep. I want you to walk past that one big board. All them resumes are nailed to, and I want to see them.
Just tell us how many are up there.
I want to see them. All right, buddy, hey, it was a pleasure joining you. Thank you for joining in and letting us know what's going on in San Antonio, Texas, at the All-American game. Tell the guys from South Florida, we on the Tony Sands Show, said hello and do what they do, represent South Florida like they supposed to. When we go out of the state, we take over. But when we come back,
no doubt about it.
Right, when we come back here on the Tony Sands Show, we're going big team.
Thanks for having me on. Both of you guys hold it down in Fort Lauderdale. I'll talk to you guys later in the week.
All right. When we come back here on the Tony Sands Show, we're going Big Ten football. We're going to where they say the linemen are big. Big, big, and super big, and where they play big time football.
Big time physical football.
Big time physical football in the Big Ten. Is the Big Ten living up to the expectation? We'll let you know when we come back here on the Tony Sands Show because we bring in two guys that's going to give us that information. We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands along with my co-host, Kelsey Dutton. We're live from Tilt to Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Los Olas and Andrews, 219. The food and my sweet tea is what I get each and every.
Hey, you done had two sweet teas already, by the way, eh?
You know, every time, I only get sweet teas when I come in because I drink water pretty much every time.
Yeah.
You know, because I like my physique. Now. I love my physique. You know, I work too hard, but here I am, 48 years old. And I still have to look after my waistline.
until we go on the trip, and then I catch you drinking sodas and all kind of stuff.
Man,
I saw
you
eating.
You can't get on the air and say that you hear me, see me drinking soda. Is you crazy? Hey, you're giving my secrets away. I may have a soda every now and then.
It ain't just my chicken sandwich.
I may have a soda every now and then, but for the most part, I try to drink water. But when I travel, I say that's my break. But, hey, listen, this is Big Ten night. Let's get to the Big Ten stores. Let's see what's going on in Big Ten country. Bring it up. Without further ado, my main man himself, Mr. C. What's going on? JC in the building. What's going on, man? What's happening with you?
Not much. Just in town for break, training with the best Tony Sands.
And you know, you heard him say it. I'm not going to say much, but you heard him say, you know, I'm going to let him say that because I don't want to say I'm bragging, but I'm bragging. I am the man. I'm going to say that. I am conceited. I am the man.
Let the truth be known.
That's it. You know, when you're good, you're just good. And you must let everybody know that you are good. But, Jay, let's get to this, man. Let's get to Big Ten football because a lot of kids, when you look at the Big Ten, you look at Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Indiana, Rutgers, Maryland, Iowa, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska, who a team that I played in the Big Eight, but they expanded that and went on and wanted to go to the Big Ten to where I think it was more money. It was a money deal. They expanded, went there, and you got Minnesota, you got yourselves, and Purdue. What is it like playing in the Big Ten?
It's a lot of competition, you know, with Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, it's big-time football. That's what you dream of. You get a chance to play against people who are going to be top picks, and you just have to bring your best each and every day.
Now, and just here I am, and, you know, I got it. You know, our listeners, they can't see it because we're on radio. Uh-huh. But I want them to be able to get a feel. What is it like on a typical Saturday getting ready for a game at the University of Illinois?
Everybody got their different ways of preparing themselves for the game. My rituals is really listen to a couple songs that get me right and the right mindset to play the game. You know, I read a couple Bible verses to get my strength built. And then, the coach going to talk to us, and then we're pretty much ready.
Now, you say, you know, what are some of the music that you like to listen to?
What's in your top playlist?
Got to be Young Jeezy.
Young Jeezy.
Young Jeezy.
Lil Wayne.
Kodak Black, a local kid.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm naive. Don't say I am. Not. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I was in the car. You know, I had some young high school guys in the car, right? So I'm new to this Instagram thing. You know, I've been on Twitter for a minute.
Yeah.
So I'm on the Instagram thing. You know, but I had been hearing this song called It Go Down in the DM.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I'm like, what is, you know, I'm thinking to myself, what is the DM? Not knowing. It Go Down in the DM. It Go Down. So I'm like, man, what is the DM? What is this man? This man know what he's talking about. So now, you know, I'm gonna wait till I get around some kids because I ain't gonna ask no adult that because I'm a senior side kind of crazy. I'm gonna ask some of my little youngsters. I said, hey, bro, man, what they be talking? What that man be saying? What is he saying when he say dim? And the kids looked at me and made me, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't ask them. Maybe it would have been better to ask some adults. Coach, that's the direct message box. I said, oh, okay. That's what that is. Okay, so
like, now, oh yeah, man, I knew that.
No,
I knew
this
that.
This is what I had to do to it. They knew what I did to it, right? So I said, oh, it's a room. The kid said, no, it ain't a room. I said, yeah, it's really a room, but it's not a physical room. It's a
chat room, almost.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, coach, it ain't a room. I said, okay, well, give me the definition of a room. Look it up. So his first definition said a place surrounded by such and such, such, but then he says a place that's occupying space. I said, I told you. Now, what I did to him is, I made him seem like he didn't know what he was talking about. And I was the smart one because I had been busting on it. So I said, am I right or wrong? He said, yeah, coach, you're right. He said, yeah, you're right. I got, you know, I had to finagle it on young folks because I didn't want him to go and stand and I didn't know what I was talking about.
Hey, I just downloaded that song last night, by the way. So I'm rocking it. I'm rocking it now, too. So, hey.
Now, you know, I'm a spiritual guy. So, one of my guys that I love, I can't even listen to his music no more. You know, I'm a plies guy.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm I know Kelsey don't like plies because his house, baby, play.
We on the trip and he plies me out. You know, he plies me out.
You know, I love plies. I mean, that's my dude. When I used to get hype for music, when I wanted to get work and work out, I play plies and get down to it. You know, that's my dude. I am 48 years old, but I do, I'm going to tell you, yes, I'm a ply. I love plies. You know, one thing, what got me hooked on it was For the Feds. You ever heard the song For the Feds?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was like, man, I know it now. You know what? I'm going to get in trouble for listening to this. My wife hear this, she going to kill me. she gonna kill me, so I cannot do this thing. Jay, let's get into it now. You know, you got a chance to see Michigan State being represented for the Big, representative for the Big Ten in this playoff situation. You got, now we got Clemson and we got Alabama. Two different type of teams, two different type of style teams.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this national championship game being played out?
Well, I would say I think Alabama's going to win. I think it started up front with their defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think their defensive line can be stopped. And, I mean, they got a lot of depth, so once they rotate, it's not like a change of speed. They got the same people still coming. And then you know they got that running back who can't be stopped.
Man,
so it's gonna be hard to beat them.
Listen, man, it make corners and linebackers cringe. They shake when they see this dude come around the corner. I know I, as a corner, to see that size coming around the corner, that dude, that look like he looked like a D lineman that can move.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude can go. And you know, that's one thing when you look at Nick Saban, that's why he don't hand out offers like everybody else.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's very particular. And then once you get that one Alabama offer, everybody in the world.
Yeah.
They just throwing offers at
him. He makes sure he gets his type of guys.
Because his type of guy is pro style guys.
Yeah.
He's not looking to get a high school guy. He's looking to get a guy that could potentially be drafted in the NFL. That's the style he is. That's the style he has.
And it wins.
Now, as we say, he might be, you know, it's going to be hard to turn down some of these offers that they're going to come at him with. $7 million, you director of operations, you, as what's name said, hey, I don't want to be the cook if I can't go buy the groceries.
Yeah,
true.
He will want to buy the groceries.
Now, let's tell people what you're doing here to prepare yourself so that way next year in the West of the Big Ten, we done started climbing, that you help this team to start climbing and start, and where that playoff situation is at your grasp.
Well, for me, it all starts in the offseason, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big believer in championships I won in the offseason. Yes. So you got to prepare yourself during the offseason for what's going to happen during the season.
Correct.
You got to be satisfied with your results from the work that you put in.
Yes.
So that's why I'm here, down here now. I could be flying around doing things.
And people don't realize. And like you said, you could be flying around doing. Now, you got to understand, his dad and C. Wood, well, they're business partners, right?
Brothers.
Business partners, brothers.
Yeah.
They're tight.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were roommates.
What? Yeah.
They were roommates at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, you see one, you're going to see the other. And he could be possibly have been at the Oakland game.
Right.
Enjoying that.
Charles' last final game, but
yeah.
But you understand that, hey, you want that.
My own legacy.
Yeah, he wants his own legacy, and that's what I like about you. I had the pleasure of being around James since he was, youngster.
Uh-huh.
He was, him and Brandon, all these guys were youngsters in the game. And to see you guys now, as I see Brandon having success at Florida, you're having success at Illinois. Pretty much a lot of you guys that were Al Harris Jr.'s son, is having success at South Carolina.
Pretty much our whole crew.
Yeah, that whole crew of guys that I had that was youngsters at that time
are
big time football. And that speaks a lot because those guys had to train with guys that was already in the league.
Yeah,
you
they
very
were older
rarely
than
see to where professional guys let. Really, at that time, some of you guys were middle school guys getting ready to go into high school where they let them train. But that was one thing that I always made sure that it took place, especially with these guys.
Yeah.
Because I wanted these guys
to see.
See it. It's not just what you see on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a job for these guys. And they trained. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't no different. If the pro guys did it, they had to do it. It wasn't like, okay, well, you you
kind of water it down or anything like that.
We made sure that these, so that way at this level, when they get ready to go to college, this stuff was easy to them.
Yeah.
I mean, when Brandon went to Florida, the guy called back and said, hey, you know, what kind of program? They thought this was something that Deerfield was running. What kind of program running? And at that time, Coach Jackson told him, you got to go speak to this guy here. And at that time, he gave me a call. And he was like, man, what you doing, man? This guy's light years ahead of the game. And that's what I expect out of my guys. When they leave here, as far as being in shape, I expect them to be light years ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I want to – that's my – you going in there because it's that first impression that's the lasting impression that they remember.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys can't make – I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest. A lot of guys can't – they can't last in my program. And me and James, we didn't say no name, but me and James was talking about that earlier.
We've seen a couple quit.
Yeah, people will quit. And I got to, I'm not the type of guy. I'm not, I ain't finna run behind. I'll tell you, I don't take it from pro guys, so I don't definitely take it from young guys. Because I got, like I said, this year I have probably about 8 DBs from around the league that'll be ascending on South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, and even though I didn't play the position, I played the position. But I went on to master my position at the running back position, but I've developed more DBs than I think than anybody.
Yeah, by studying the position.
Yeah, I mean, I've developed pretty much anything coming out of Broward County, I've had my hands on. Mm-hmm. And to see you go off, and I remember when James, when he transferred and when he went into St. Thomas, James was a baseball guy.
Yeah, that was my first sport.
James was baseball. A lot of people may not know it, but he was a baseball guy. He loved it, baseball. At that time, I think baseball became your number one, and then football was your second.
Yeah, it was.
You start seeing the fruits of your labor that, I don't know if I would have gave up that baseball, man.
I should have stuck to it, but I'm here now.
It is what it is.
Can't look back now.
At all, man. Let me tell you something. You say, like I said, you get a chance to be around, and you have been around some of the best DBs, Charles Woodson, Al Harris. You've been around some guys that were elite at their craft. Elite at Charles, stayed in the league 18 years. When you're around him, what are some of the things that you speak to him about, of how he was able to last for 18 years?
Actually, I talk to Charles weekly, and he always getting on me about, making sure my body's good. Something like the cold tub, icing your legs, massages, even when you don't need them.
When you don't need
them. Just make sure that you're okay. And he always give me tips and stuff about like how to read different coverages.
Yes.
How to read the offense, like what to study during the offseason.
Correct.
How to get better. And Al also being my DB coach when I was in high school.
Yes.
I mean, not too many people.
You can get knowledge from Charles Woodson. And as you were saying,
at
a lot of people are starting to call him the GOAT of the game.
Yeah, he is.
The GOAT. So now they're starting to say, okay, Deion, you're starting to get pushed back because now when you give somebody the word the GOAT, that means you are the greatest of all time.
I mean, the last through the time that he's lasted. Yeah, 18 definitely.
18 years.
Yeah.
That's in some cases, that's 3 seasons for some people.
18 years at a high level.
And where he's playing now, he looked like he had 5 more left to go.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
He looked like, and is a probably, and I got an opportunity because I, speak with your dad in reference to business. And I spoke with your dad, and your dad was like, great businessman. He's a heck of a businessman. Mm-hmm. So for him to walk away and say, hey, this is it. I'm done. I'm satisfied. I did everything I could do. Mm-hmm. When I got a chance to look at, when you're talking about a Heisman Trophy, you're talking about a rookie, I think defensive player, rookie of the year, Super Bowl.
Defensive
MVP.
National champion.
Yeah, I mean, how many?
All the accolades.
All the accolades that you would ever want to accomplish as an athlete.
Yeah,
he's
done it. Right. Yeah.
He has that hands down.
So when he walks away, it's like job done.
There's nothing he couldn't do more.
What else could I do? What else would I want?
And he walks away with his health.
That's most important. That's key. I mean, Charles might, he had some surgery early in his years, but to have those surgery early in the years probably was better for the standpoint. And then Charles, like you said, he takes care of his body very well. I've researched that on him a great deal. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I used to always tell Al. We got to make sure. Al didn't like the stretch, but I used to tell him, make sure you're taking care of your body. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that you are learning. You have that pleasure to be around that. So, man, listen, you make sure you listen. You got, like I said, Al was a DB coach in high school, bro. You've been blessed.
Definitely.
You've been blessed. And, you know, Al was, when it came to that shutdown corner, and a guy that worked hard, and you got a chance, like I said, you got a chance to see that hands-on. These are guys that worked hard at the craft. They worked hard at what they did. Now he's continuing on because he's coaching. And he has two guys in the Pro Bowl.
And his name is getting hot. His name is getting hot.
Another year, you could possibly see him being a D.C. somewhere.
Yeah,
he could possibly
his name is getting
possibly
hot.
Possibly pulling you guys in. Hey, you coached me in high school. Now you coach me in the league.
Hey,
wow.
Man, hey, don't get no coach. Better.
Because I'm going to tell you something, what he does. And this is the beauty of it all. When guys come to us, like the Nevin Lawsons that I've trained, when he know they are coming up, he called me, AT, when you get with Nev, work on this with him. Like with Marcus. Mm-hmm. When Marcus came out, listen, you make sure you get Marcus and you work him hard. So this is what they're saying, this, that, and the other. You get with him, you make sure you work. Don't let him slack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Marcus knew that. And like I said, Marcus wasn't good on, he didn't like that conditioning thing. Now, Al was a worker, but he didn't like the one teams. But I had to trick him.
Yeah.
But Marcus didn't like the condition, but now he's loving the condition because he understands. He sees the future as hard labor. Yeah, all the guys that I trained this year played this season. Pretty much started a lot of games this year.
Yeah.
So, and that trickled over. Now we got guys calling in from all over that wants to, you know, like I say, you got to work. There's no way of honor. Man, listen, you continue. Hey, and you head back to Illinois, I know you're going to be the man because I know there's things that they're saying that you could possibly be a captain, man. When you can be a captain, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
You're doing
something
right.
Leading the group.
You got to be a leader on and off the field.
That's what it's called, on and off the field in this day and age. Hey, but we're going to stay Big Ten. We're going to go Michigan State when we come back. We're going to talk to Madre. Let him tell us what Clemson is in store. What's in store for Clemson as they face Alabama? We're leaving off with my main man, JC. Illinois fighting Illini.
Yes, sir.
What's that? Champagne.
Champagne, Illinois.
Freezing Illinois.
Woohoo! Cold. I don't want nothing to do with that cold weather, bro. I spent 8 years in Kansas, and boy, listen, it got cold out there this morning. I thought I was in Kansas. I was like, man, what's going on? It's not even that cold here. I had my leather jacket on, you can see.
Yeah, this ain't nothing.
But I ain't gonna say that because I don't want to get in trouble.
What's that?
This weather, this bring out every woman in America down here in South Florida want to wear black boots. This is black boots.
Uggs, record. Uggs.
No, they ain't wearing the boots. They wearing the things come way up to the knees. they wait on this weather. The women wait on this weather too.
Yeah, they do.
Can put on
they
their
do.
Boots.
They do.
It's on everybody I seen that they had on boots.
Ones that was in storage for the longest.
Yeah, they love their boots, man. They love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Hey, listen, we're talking Michigan State. I want to bring my main man, Madre, on. We're going to get him out to bed because he got a bone that I got to pick with him tomorrow morning because he's slept in on us. But without, we're going to go to a commercial break and we're going to talk Michigan State. See what Clemson got to deal with. With Nick Saban.
What they got up their sleeve.
Yo, Jordan F did this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like gaining weight or nothing like that, like colossal, like you know what I mean? Like I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show with my main man, Kelsey Dudley. We're in Big Ten country. Even though we're in South Florida, we are in Big Ten country. We got Illinois guys and Michigan State is in the building. My main man, Madre London.
The big guys from up north.
Big guys from up north that come from the south. Well, you know, Madre come from the south. Yeah, Madre's south. Even though he's a Little Rock, Arkansas. You know, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, really?
Remember I called you and told you I was in Little Rock. Listen, man. Now, that's country, though.
Yeah.
That's country. Let me tell you something. My wife's cousin, he lives up there in Little Rock, right? This is the first dude I ever seen change a tire without going to the tire shop.
Yeah.
He took an axe handle, stood on the tie, beat it all around, even put on another tie, went and got his amp pump, pumped it up, and put it on the car. I said, now that's country. This man has no problem when he break down on the road. All he need to do is go and get his jack out the car.
And get it going.
Man, listen, no machine. He put it on faster than a machine did. Faster than any machine. Marjorie, let's get into it. Now, y'all had a heck of a season. You guys went 12-2. 12-2. 71 in the East. Guys play in the playoff game. And I see you dressed up in all your nice, beautiful gear. Listen, I got to tell Mark D'Antonio I need some of that ghetto. And that's my dude. Now, you know, Tim Allen, Mark D'Antonio, Coach Warner. I'm trying to think. I think that's all that's there from Kansas. All those guys were with me at Kansas when I coached at Kansas and when I played at Kansas. Uh-huh. Tim Allen was, you know, at that time still in the same position. I see he's elevated. Crush, I bet you he's D'Antonio's right-hand man.
Yeah.
He's his right-hand man. Tim was a cool dude. D'Antonio was a cool dude. I remember me and Dan, we sat down and talked a lot. I was there with Dan the first time he got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting down, man. Dan was, he was frustrated. I told him there, I said, man, you're going to be a heck of a coach someday. You're going to be a heck of a coach because his love for his players is unbelievable. His spirit, unbelievable. Now, do he dance in the locker room like a lot of coaches starting to do now? Y'all ain't make him cut a two-step or something? A dab?
He do it, yeah, he do a little bit.
It's amazing how the players got these coaches dancing all over the place.
Hey, I know after that Michigan game, he had to be dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, after the Iowa game, for sure he was dancing.
At the Iowa game, for sure.
That's that signature win. You know, the national championship coming up, and let's talk a little bit about the national championship. We got national championship, Clemson and Alabama. What's in store for Clemson? How would they have the game plan for Alabama?
Give us the skinny now. Come on.
Just come in there mentally focused. You know, Alabama is big up front, obviously. And Derrick Henry and Calvin Ridley, the passing game, you can't sleep on the passing game. And I feel like that's what we kind of did. We slept on the passing game and shut down the running game and end up finding holes in our defense. They start passing. And their D-line, their front seven, like they said, is the best in college football right now. And they just got to come ready to play. Don't be scared. And they should get the job done.
So now in this game, which way would you lean, with the speed and the finesse over the big size? Which one would you go?
At that time, it really don't even matter speed or just get the job done. So whoever coming out there
ready to go
play and just do it for 60 minutes straight, that's who's gonna win.
60 minutes of football.
Marjorie. And that game's being played in Texas Stadium.
No.
They're playing that one in Arizona.
That's out in Arizona. You trying to get Jerry more money.
I'm trying to give him more money than
he
already got.
You trying to give him more money than that Buford Stadium.
Do you feel that maybe the scene or you give some insight on just being in that playoff atmosphere now that college football has, that playoff atmosphere? What do you feel that it's imperative that both of the teams or one of the teams come out and they kind of keep their heads about them, or is it kind of crazy in that scene where one of the teams may get over anxious or something?
I mean, it's just another game, just like a regular season when you're playing a big game in college game days there. You're not going to try not to get overwhelmed over the situation. You know, you still got to go through practice, preparations, everything. You still got to stay humble through all the media hyping you up before the game. So it's just going to be that when that time comes, that's when all the talking is done and you just got to put on a pass and get ready to play football.
Right.
Now, you guys, like I say, we get ready to hit in the offseason. How much you guys are taking from that game and feeding yourself to even work harder this offseason? How much of that you think is going to play into a lot of you guys' offseason work this year?
I was going to play a lot. Last year, we felt like we could have been to the playoffs, went to the national championship. Two teams we lost to last year was in the national championship, and same as this year. No, it was a tough game in the beginning. The score don't look like it, but at the beginning, defense was holding their own. It's just offense couldn't click on with the ones and twos. But coming to when we go back to school, getting ready to go work out, that's going to be in the back of our mind. Like, that loss hurt us. it hurt the program at that time, and the blowout really hurt us also. So that's going to be in the back of our mind when we're working out every time.
Working out that way when guys want to slack, you know, somebody, hey, listen, bro, you understand what we just came out of? We never want to be in this position again.
Yeah.
In order for us to be in this position again, like I tell guys all the time, you're only as strong as your weakest link. If that weak link is weak, we are weak. We got to build everybody up to that high level, because I'm quite sure, like you said, you guys, you know, a lot of people, you know, I heard saying, you know, ah, this might be a, you know, one a hit or quitter for them, or this, that, and then they was disrespecting Coach D'Antonio. I'm quite sure he told you guys they couldn't even get his, some media outlets couldn't even get his name right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was, to me, a guy like that that I love, I'm going to bat for him. Whatever we got to do to get back to that point, we're going to get back to that point. And I'm quite sure you guys have that on your mind. And like I say, you have eclipsed what they would call y'all as the little brother in Michigan. They are the big brothers in Michigan. I'm saying it. Michigan is the little brothers in Michigan. Until they can beat the big brothers, that's where they at. You look at the difference between a 10-3 and a 12-2. That means volumes.
Yeah.
To me. Madre, man, listen, every time I can have you on the show, you go back and tell the fellas I said, D'Antonio, Tim Allen, Coach Warner. You know, I like Warner, too. Warner was, you know, does he still coach quarterbacks, too?
Who?
Coach Warner.
No, he coached running backs.
Running backs? Warner's a running back guy. He was a quarterback guy ever since I've known him. What is, I think, what is it, OC or Coles?
Yeah, OC.
OC. You really very rare to see OCs coaching running backs. So that's your coach. Wow. It's hard for me to see Warner as a running back.
You know what? They have their style of play kind of fits the OC. Because I would say they had a very good running game, and with the way they rotated the backs in and everything, they really gave a lot of teams fits with their running game. So I kind of understand, you know, in that case, the OC being a running backs coach.
Well, hey, you got a chance to hear some of the guys from the Big Ten. We're going to go to a commercial because we got to take pictures here on the Tony Sands Show, because we that station when you want to hear football. Coming next week here on the Tony Sands Show, I'm going to show you how our guest list continue to grow and grow. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, will be live here on set.
Yes.
At the Tilt Kill on National Championship Night.
The playmaker.
On National Championship Night, the playmaker himself will be in the building.
It's going down.
We had Marjorie down. London.
There it is.
Ryan Bartow, James J.C. from Champaign, Illinois, who is making a stand to become a captain and all Big Ten guy. That's when you come to all Big Ten, that's the elite of the elites.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in the second half of this show, from the 7:30 on to 8 o'clock, we're going to dig back into the coaching carousel that is going on throughout.
What it is, Black Friday, Pink Friday.
I'm calling it
Pink Friday.
No, they're in the red. Some guys are in the red. I'm calling it Red Monday, not Black Monday.
There
Why do you call it Black Monday when it ain't even Black Monday? Black Monday.
So in the red, Red Monday.
Means that's a positive. Red means you're in the negative. But we're going to come back here on the Tony Sands Show. And we're talking coaching carousel here at the Tilt the Kill.
Looking for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. From different races. You get money, they started hating.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. You got a chance to hear my main man, Madre London, talk Big Ten football and what possibly is in store for the Clemson Tide if they're going to do the Dabo.
They're going to do the
Arrow.
Dabo.
What kind, is that when they do the dab, is they ducking blows that's going to be coming out of
yeah,
by Alabama?
Yeah, they for real. They're going to be
are ducking,
they ducking
blows that's coming from him from Alabama and Nick Saban.
Yeah,
Kirby Smart is still standing around. Kirby want that national championship.
Kirby want the ring. I can't blame him. He's running things from afar at Georgia. But, I mean, you can't.
He still got his hand on Georgia.
Yeah, he still got his hand on it. And he seems to be controlling Georgia. It pretty well. Controlling it from afar,
yeah.
He seems to be handling that pretty well. So, I must say, he's doing a good job in that sense.
I'm going to tell you, Kessler, this sweet tea is good, though.
Sweet tea that good, man?
That sweet tea good. I love
hey,
it.
Hey, man, you know what? I started taking the organic green tea, you know?
Man, I don't want no organic green tea.
The organic green tea, man.
Man, I don't want no organic
green tea. Well, I'm trying
to
keep my physique, too, man. I'm getting older, too. I got to try to hold on to, you know, what I got. So,
see, what I give, what, you know, what I give you, how many? I'm 48, you what?
38.
10 years?
Yeah.
Wow. 10 years apart. I remember, let me tell you something. This is what I remember about Kelsey. You couldn't get him to drink water at one time. When he was a kid, he wouldn't drink. His mama would not.
I was known for that.
He would not drink water. Now all he want, you know, it make me feel bad when I come and order my tea. I just take some water. I'm you don't know how much you mess with my psyche when you do that.
Yeah, hey, that's a. Man, hey,
you mess with my psyche.
Hey, you know how we train each other? We train our athletes.
Yeah.
I had to train myself.
Start
drinking water.
I drink, I drink it during the course of the day. But when I'm for some reason when I come here, I tap into the sweet tea.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that sweet tea will get me. That's why I say, you know, I said, okay, well, the only tea I could go with is the green tea.
And then I squeeze the lemon in it and make it good because this is the tilt, the kilt, where the food is delicious. I'm telling you, Kelsey.
Come get the chicken sandwich.
Yeah, come get Kelsey's favorite chicken sandwich.
It's back. I'm going to have them name that. I got to talk to Joe about putting my name somewhere around that chicken sandwich. What's up? Tony Sands.
What do you call it? Show special.
Yeah, show special. Something. Co-host
special. Next week, the show special should be the show special.
Yeah.
We are telling you, live at the Tilt the Kilt, next Monday night, the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin, will be live on
the
set. In the building, you best to get here early if you want to get in.
And we're going to break it all down. NFL, college,
everything.
Championship.
We're digging into
everything
with the playmaker on the Tony Sands show. It's going to be the bomb. But, Kelsey, let's get back into this coaching carousel that is taking place here in and throughout South Florida and the rest of the country when it comes to jobs. And we talked to Ryan. Ryan will be at the coaches' convention giving us the lowdown on what is going on, who's getting jobs, who's in, who's out. I don't think people really understand, Kelsey, what goes at the coaches' convention. I don't think they understand what is going on at the coaching convention when it comes to jobs and things of that nature because, like I say, a lot of people, and as I told you earlier, people might have heard me say, and they didn't understand what I was saying, people actually sleep in their cars.
Uh-huh.
They drive there, sleep in their cars because all the hotels are filled up in San Antonio. You got to understand, in San Antonio, it's not like
it's not a big
lot
place. Yeah,
hotels.
It's not a lot of, yeah.
So, a lot of guys sleep in their hotels. They sleep in their cars, pin their thing up on the board, and try to get jobs.
Yeah. And now I could have saw myself doing that younger, when I was younger.
No, I couldn't.
I could have saw myself doing that. Because of the hunger of being around it and loving the game.
No,
you went back to Kansas and coached.
I understand that. And that's when I went to my first coach's clinic.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, we drove because it was in Dallas and we was in Kansas. And I hated that. at the time the university pays for you where you stay at,
yeah,
and all that stuff, and you're set up. I wasn't looking for a job, but I'm looking at these other guys, and I'm riding with guys,
uh-huh,
who riding with guys now who have had at the time didn't have jobs,
uh-huh,
and I'm saying to myself, man, this is what these guys go through to get a job in this field. And at that time, you know, The salaries weren't near what they are now.
No,
if you was making at that time $45,000, $50,000, you were making a lot of money.
Because
head coach
at
that time was only making $150,000, something like that.
Uh-huh.
That was considered a lot of money at that time. In the early, the early 90s, it's amazing how that thing has changed. Within the last 15 years, how the money has been jacked up to where now, you know, heck, bottom out salary, I think, is about 200 something thousand.
And I don't think it's going to stop, Tony.
No.
That's the thing. With us just entering into the playoff system. My goodness.
With the money that's been put into the game,
yeah,
sponsorships, television contracts, it's not going down.
Yeah.
It's not going. And you can see it's not selling down. It's continuing to rise.
Continuing to rise, yeah.
Because I know guys that I, you know, that was in the rankings when I was coaching. They're in the business. I think they're making like $400,000.
Yeah. But and coaches have learned how to leverage themselves even if they don't want to leave.
They got agents now.
They,
you know, only person that had an agent when I was coming out was the head coach. That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody else didn't. And then what happened, you know, over the last 3-4 years, they have been able to, assistants been able to use their agents to get them 2-3 year deals.
Yeah.
And then if you fire them,
you got to pay them out. Yeah, you got to pay it out.
You got to pay them out.
It's like what for the coaches, it's like guaranteed money.
Yeah, I mean, when people talk, oh, he lost his job, as we look at San Francisco, the head coach at San Francisco 49ers will have to be paid the remainder of his $10.5 million that was owed to him over the extension of his 3-year deal.
Now, do you think that's going to come in like one lump sum, or are they going to?
They'll probably extend it out over a course of time. Now, normally when a lot of this play out, they say, okay, if you get a job,
we only have to
pay you a certain amount. We don't have to pay you the whole $10
million.
What they do is they're measured off the job that he has.
Right.
And then when they measure off the job that he has,
kind of pay the difference, they kind of even it out.
Yeah, that kind of alleviates that 10.5. I think I won't even coach.
Man, I'm sitting that one out.
You know, I look at a guy like Charlie Weiss. When Charlie Weiss was at Kansas, you know,
right.
Charlie Weiss
was getting money from
New England.
Oh, yeah.
And he was getting money from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And getting paid by Kansas.
And getting paid
by Kansas. When Kansas fired him, he was still getting his New England money. He was still getting his Notre Dame money, and he was getting his Kansas money.
Ooh-wee.
Why would you coach? You got to love the game in order
going
to coach.
Going to the mailbox, those were some good days, huh?
What? And I think.
Thumbs up, Charlie.
I think Charlie Weiss was trying to get fired at Kansas. He was trying to get fired.
Yeah. He maybe wanted out of that situation.
He wanted out, but he wanted to go out with his paycheck.
Yeah.
If he resigned, there's no pay.
Yeah,
I ain't got to pay
you. You wouldn't get it.
You won't get a dime of that. But if you fire me, then you got to pay me
you
out.
You got to pay
my
it, yeah.
buyout clause. And that's, you know, like I said, that's amazing when you look at those numbers. Like I told you, you got doggone strength and conditioning coaches making $500,000 now. That's, you know, you ever thought that's more than a doctor?
That's, yeah.
That's more than a doctor is being paid.
That is
more than any doctor being paid, bro.
And that is
major.
Yeah. They don't even work the full day, Tony.
No.
They don't work the full day. Their day is broken up into 2 time periods plus.
They're on the field work. But now they're long days, though. They're long days now.
Yeah.
They're long days.
Yeah, they're long days.
You know,
well, in the off season. In the off season, they're longer. They're a lot longer. When you get closer to season, those days aren't that long.
It depends on who you work for. A lot of it has to do with who you work for.
Yeah, because they can give you extra things within
your
job description.
Now, the only guy I knew that didn't believe in a lot of time in the office, he believed in family, was Bill McCartney. Mm-hmm. Bill McCartney believed in, once practice is over, you done had your dinner, you go home to your family.
Uh-huh.
He was about one of the, but, you know, he was a very spiritual guy. And like I said, he walked away from Colorado at the time, and he was what we consider one of those unusual type of guys.
Uh-huh.
Because that normally doesn't happen. You remember, you're back in the office. He said, if you haven't gotten it in within that 8-hour time span of a day,
mm-hmm.
then you don't need to have it in.
Right.
A lot of guys say, no, we got to work. We might be missing something.
Right.
And I know some slave drivers that was in the coaching field and names of guys that was in the coaching field.
It's hard not to have that mentality of thinking, though, because you got to understand, you know, everybody's trying to get that edge way they can. So, you know, for you to go home, you got to, you know, you're still thinking. You're still thinking football.
Right.
So it's hard to get away from it.
But tell me this, though. Now, that's why the divorce rate is high.
Oh, yeah. Tell you this. I know where you were going with it. Does it affect everything at home? Oh, yes, it definitely does. Because on the other hand, not only
people that I've known, but as I tried to get into it, it started to affect my home.
And what did I tell you, Kelsey?
Yeah, you told me ahead of time.
I said, listen, I love it. It's beautiful. Beautiful job. But it will start affecting the home because now the wife becomes the mother and the father. And you got to be a strong person, a strong, strong person to be able to handle that.
It's real strong. And I mean, you see some of the top coaches that have gone through a lot of the family issues with the thing, divorce.
Look at Jimbo Fisher.
The coach from Ohio State that no longer is at Ohio State. I can't think of his name.
Tressel.
He got divorced during his stint at Ohio State. You have a lot of coaches that go through a lot. And they did a special on the SEC coaches and how much time they put in, knowing that they're in the toughest conference. Their wives have a SEC wives kind of club where they still get together and kind of give tribute to their husbands. Then they receive, you know, some accolades for them being the women that they are.
It's a tough position to be in. But Kelsey, let's spin wheels. Let's talk basketball. When I talk basketball, let's talk the University of Louisville. You know, we talked about that when the sex scandal broke out. You know, Ms. Powell spoke with the NCAA.
Got some stuff back out.
Yeah, she spoke with the NCAA. Uh-huh. It was an unrecorded interview. So I guess she wanted to make sure that, you know, you don't record what I'm saying. And for those that are joining the Tony Sands show, this was a scandal that broke out some before the basketball season started at Louisville.
Right.
To where guys were, you know, being given, you know, women to have sex with on recruiting trips, things of that nature. Well, Miss Katrina Powell, the lady that's at the top of this scandal, Miss Escort, as they're calling, the Escort Queen, had a chance to speak with the NCAA. And this is according to an article that is on WDBP is reporting that she spoke with the NCAA. Katrina Powell, author of The Breaking Cardinal Rules Basketball, the Escort Queen, spoke to investigators in 5 hours outlining her accounts of what happened from the beginning to the end at the dormitory. Man, McMahon said the interview was not recorded and that Powell essentially told investigators the same thing she wrote in her book. As an investigator, would you want to have heard that, or you thought there was more to it? Or would you accept what she stated in the book?
I mean, we all know that there's more to this. I mean, we all know that there's definitely more to it. The thing is, you know, at this point, what has she gone through? Who has she talked to? Who has kind of steered her to kind of, hey, let's keep this under wraps or under control? Who has approached her in situations of an under-the-table settlement on this stuff?
But now, listen, I look at this situation, and then I look at when the University of Miami broke out in their situation, and I say to myself, why is this seem like it's being swept up under the rug and you don't hear about it? But when University of Miami had their problem with Nev and Shapiro, it was front lines.
You know what, Tony? I think that the people that are involved in this and the major program that we're talking about,
correct?
I just think it doesn't have the shine that a
you don't think it has the stigma that you have what really sells papers
that sells people's interest. Yes.
Like the University of Miami.
Yes, all day long. That's that. We say Louisville basketball. First of all, Louisville is a small place in Kentucky. Kentucky's not really that type of area where you're going to get high media things to go on. You're not expecting that much. And then on top of that, it's a basketball program. Not a football program.
But so now it is basketball king now.
Yes.
Kansas, Louisville, University of Kentucky.
Right.
These are basketball Americas. How does this not hit the media continuously in this situation?
I think maybe if we were saying a Kansas or a Duke or a Kentucky, because even let's go back now.
How?
With Duke, with the lacrosse team, when they had that situation, that hit
that
pretty
hit.
Big.
Yeah, that hit big.
Because why? We were talking about Duke.
Duke.
You know?
Supreme program.
And yeah, supreme program.
Program.
Yeah, no matter what sport
cut.
It is.
Clean
yeah.
Cut.
And so, and I think that was just the major thing here. But this, I mean, this case is a big case. This is a big situation, this investigation that they got going on. It's just, hey, they're doing as much as they can to sweep this thing under
and
the
like
rug.
Like said, Andre McGee, the guy who arranged all this and as she said, paid her over $10,000.
Yeah.
Had to resign from his post.
Oh, you knew he wasn't going to stay there. I mean, all
but
those.
But tell me this, like I say, he doesn't. Why, and it still brought me back this, how does he steps down? And I understand why he's saying, because she's directly pointing at him.
Uh-huh.
How does this still not put some type of eye on Rick Pitino?
On Rick Pitino.
I still say, how does this not affect Rick Pitino's ability to continue to coach?
I don't know, man. There's some buffers or something that there's some people that are blocking this from, you know, touching Pitino. I really think he has some guys in the upper groups or alumni or something that are really keeping him away from this situation. They're keeping his name out of it.
But I'm trying to figure out how does his name stay out of this when, you know, you are the focal point
when
of
you're,
this.
Yeah, this is your program.
This is your baby now.
Yeah, this is your
program. Baby.
I don't know. He's been getting out of it as of late, though.
And
will it continue? That's the thing.
Will it catch up with you at some point?
Maybe after basketball season.
Yeah, but then the stigma of the physique, the big myth of basketball being over. Then what you go to a dead period of sports period anyway.
Yeah,
basketball and football, you go to a dead period.
But you may end up being able to peel back some layers of things where people didn't want to come out before, maybe in the front of things,
but
maybe a ex-athlete.
But was on
the team or something like that.
That may step forward, you say.
That may step forward. Okay, things have settled down. Season is over. It kind of breezed by a little bit. And then you get a media person to kind of coax them into saying, come on, just give me that story. Just be honest with me, you know?
I got to see how that
– it's off the record.
I want to see how that play itself out from a standpoint of do we get really to it, or does it get swept up under the rug and the NCAA decide, you know what, we're just going to get them a pat on the wrist.
Louisville can't do that no more. You can't.
But then that
because
means,
his
that
name means has to this, be attached.
But then that means this, Rick Pitino, it goes back to, I think the word was, even though you say you don't know,
uh-huh.
You must know.
That's why I say, if any – thing is handed down towards the school, it automatically ties to Rick Pitino. So how long can the school stay out of harm's way is the key.
I don't think they can
last that long or stand,
no,
you know. Well, then at that point, that's probably when we will hear it tying into Rick Pitino. I think at that point.
I think Pitino is still staying adamant that he didn't know. That's hard to believe on a basketball. I can see if you said a football team because you got to go.
It's almost impossible.
So
go ahead and say it. It's almost
so
impossible.
So many layers of players, and there's more players. I don't see how that not.
Man, the basketball team was the easiest group of guys to keep up with on campus.
That's what I'm saying.
They all had the same classes. It was only about 10 of them total. The other ones were walk-ons. You know, this is all the basketball team in this class right here. You know, football team, you know, it was
major.
Only maybe a fourth of the team was in one class at one time.
It was major. That's what I'm saying. That was a major.
So you know, yeah, I mean, he knows. It got back to him.
At some point, it got back to him. I don't think he could say, I think, you know, well, let me look at, I didn't know if it was that big. But then I think he's either way, you still must know.
They've been doing they have been doing this for what? How many years? Two
no,
years?
No, I think this went over
2000.
I think it went over might have been a 4-year period or something. From no, a 4-year period.
4-year period. 2010, 2014.
How you not know that?
Come on.
How do you not know?
And I will say this: there are at those two schools in Kentucky, that being UK, University of Kentucky, and University of Louisville, there are some very nice looking women that attend those schools. So
how you not know?
How do you not know?
How you not know that this is going on?
And it's no way it gets back to the football team, and then the football team sees the basketball team.
Yeah, that means
you know, hey, how you guys outdoing us?
Yeah.
Well, hey, coach, so and so number over there doing what?
You gotta figure, Louisville football team was winning.
They were winning.
That's when Charlie Strong was
getting
them boys.
That's when Charlie Strong was getting them Florida boys in there.
Charlie probably said, let me get up out of here, boy. This thing hit me, I don't want to be nowhere around. None of this.
Yeah, ain't no way the football team. They knew. Come on now. We're talking about this went down.
Charlie Strong, let me pack my bag.
Athletic dorm.
I can get to Texas, even though they lose. I'm out. Because I know when Rick Pitino, when this hit the fan, you still there, buddy. They coming out.
Yeah, the other players knew. Because come on. You know being at Kansas. Being at Kansas, you know.
That's just like when Kansas had the big rumble between basketball
team
and football.
And the football team.
They fought each other. And that was, everybody in the world knew that was about a girl. Everybody knew that was about a girl. I wasn't even up there. And I found out it was about a girl. Yeah. And I'm telling guys, I said, man, what kind of dudes are you? We normally don't fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we might be at a party. We fighting some of the locals.
Some of the locals, yeah.
But we ain't been to fight each other. We are brothers. That's a no-no. You don't do that, especially to do it because of a girl. I had a hard I was telling Sean, I have a hard time with this. I have a hard problem with you guys. Period. You guys don't fight each other. Not within the athletic department, because we consider ourselves family. Rather it be football, baseball, whatever happens. Even though in basketball and football, two guys teams that are tight.
Yeah, because I said you take classes together.
You are, you know, you might have a baseball player, but we can't even relate to them. So
they don't even get
in our seat because they didn't even eat at the dorm where we at the training table.
Their schedule is totally different anyway.
They didn't even eat at the schedule. Basketball ate at the training table with us, and so we shared a dorm together.
We broke bread.
We shared a dorm together. Everything. We went to eat together. Yeah. We even shared classes. We shared tutoring. Everything. I remember, at that time I was sharing class with, some of the elite guys that's in. And then that's when I was able to be a strength and conditioning coach at Kansas. I was, over men's basketball at that time. And I had Jock Vaughn and Greg Oshertag and guys like that. But those guys still was tight-knit with the football team. I never heard of that. And when I heard that story breaking, that went big time. That went national.
Yeah.
Because now you're dealing with Kansas, who's a premier basketball program, and football that's trying to come up.
Trying to come up, yeah.
That community, I'm quite sure that community at that time frowned upon the basketball team.
Yeah.
I know they frowned it upon the basketball team. Folks, but before we close out the show, we're going to recant all the guests that we had on and who we are having on next week. Recant. We had Marjorie London on talking Big Ten football.
Running back Michigan State.
James Crawford on talking Big Ten Illinois, where he planned to take the Illinois Flying the Lion Eye in the future to talking about his
big time safety
with Al Harris and the GOAT himself, Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
That's when you can get that kind of knowledge, man. It's amazing.
Use it to your advantage. Yeah, he seems to be using it to his advantage.
He's using it to his advantage.
Has his head on straight.
Got his head on straight. He's a guy. He understands what it takes to be at that elite level. Like I said, his dad and Charles Woodson are brothers.
Yeah.
They do everything together. And it's a unique relationship. And I've had this young man since he was a youngster. We had Ryan Bartow on talking, Kelsey, about what's going on at the All-American game. Some of the kids that they're highlighting out there. Some of our local kids that are there. One thing about our show. That's why we are a national show, brother. We
able
can get
to
it
bring it to you from everywhere.
All
huh?
angles. Every angle from everybody throughout the country chimes in here on the Tony Sands Show. But next week, our guest lineup will blow your mind. We have the playmaker himself, Mr. Michael Irvin, Mr. Dallas Cowboy, Mr. NFL Network will be here at the Tony Sands Show. You're going to see us pumping this up starting tonight.
Big time.
Starting tonight, my man Brando, that handles all our media marketing, will be pumping it out tonight. Michael Irvin himself
Hall
will
of,
be in the building.
Hall
and that's
famous.
National Championship Night. So you have a National Championship Night with the Tony Sands Show live at the Tilt the Kilt. You couldn't ask for anything better than
that. No, you couldn't ask for anything better. So fans, come on down. Check us out. If you're listening right now, make your plans for next Monday night. Be here in the place,
building.
In the building. We're going to make sure we open out the doors. So we open out the downtown, and we're going to get it in. We're going to get it in, Tony. We're going to break it all down.
Getting it in ain't going to be the word. We are going to, we're going to have it up as we do on the big screen. Listen, you don't want to YouTube this. You want to be in the building.
Yes,
for this.
You want to be here live.
But my man Brando, if you can't get here, he's going to give you the information on where you need to be. If you want to see what's going on in the building, Brando, look for it to be. My man Brando is going to be putting it out. Busy Bee Vision is going to be putting it out on the Tony Sands Show. It will be the bomb. We're bringing the playmaker in the building as we talk NFL, college football, and we're going to let him dip into high school football because he had a chance to get in the minds of some of the great high school guys here in South Florida. But we're closing out the Tony Sands Show. My main man, me and Kelsey, here at Tilt the Kilt, my main man, Brando, is bringing it up on YouTube. You can YouTube it each and every Monday. Brando, what were you YouTubing it at? The Tony Sands Show live on YouTube, or you can hear us on BBS Radio / the Tony Sands Show live from the Tilt the Kilt. So if you want to be in the building, this is the place
to
be.
Check it out.
Next week, ladies, it's going to be, we're giving a giveaway again.
Giveaway again?
Going to give away that week. Going to give away.
Let me make sure I let all of the people that are interested know.
We're going to give away that week.
About the giveaway.
Giveaway that week.
So get ready. Be in the house. Ladies giveaway.
Yeah, we're going to do something for the ladies that night.
Ladies giveaway. Ladies giveaway.
A gift to a ladies.
Get the ladies in the house. Get the ladies in the house. Show them some love.
Close it out here on the Tony Sands Show. Live from the Tilt the Kilt. I am Tony Sands. And as I say, peace, love, and happiness here. We're closing out. Oh, they playing my man Jay-Z on the speaker here.
See you next week, fans.
We're gone.